This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know I'm always wonderful.
You're always wonderful on Saturdays, but what about Mondays and Tuesdays?
You don't want to talk to me on Monday and Tuesday.
Wow.
Then it's it takes all week to get me wonderful. You hadn't figured that out. Oh, my God.
Well, at least the needle moves. It may be terrible on Monday, but by the time we get to the end of the week, it's much better. So that's progress.
We're making progress on the situation. And, you know, I'm kind of like those little kids were telling me about what they would have for Father's Day. I like the idea of the hot dogs and the ice cream on Saturday. I like all foods on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, me too. It almost seems like Saturdays should be like the day you have a free day from your diet. So whatever diet you do, it's all out the window. You can have pizza and ice cream, hamburgers, hot dogs, whatever on Saturday.
I think that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to give our body a little something extra, that extra boost. And I'll tell you what else I've been thinking about.
Okay.
Is banana splits. How long has it been since you had a banana split?
Oh, wow. It has been years. I haven't even thought about a banana split.
Well, I've been thinking about them. I haven't had one, but I'm sure thinking about it.
And now you got me thinking about it, so thank you very much.
That's right. Because, you know, used to, you went to the ice cream shop and you had a banana split at the drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now that you don't go to the drugstore to eat anymore, you know, you have to go to an ice cream shop or bring it home.
Yeah, that is true. There was always something special about ice cream or really anything when you could get it at the drugstore. It just tasted different, and I don't know why.
Well, and, you know, I remember the old drugstores. They had the old wooden floors. You go up to the counter, and you sit on that little stool that turns round and round.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember after school, you could actually get a chicken salad sandwich at the drugstore.
Really? A chicken salad sandwich?
Chicken salad sandwich. My family asked me about this the other day, and I said, I can tell you all about, early days in small towns. And they said, did you have a Rexall drug? That was their big deal. Did you have a Rexall drugstore?
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course back then everybody did. It was the old corner drug was the Rexall. But do you remember? And I don't know if your town had it. The jewelry store was in the drugstore.
No, usually the jewelry store was a guy, and his name on the shop. And you'd actually walk in and you would find that same guy behind the counter. But it was usually in some kind of a. It was on like the main street, where you still pull in, front ways kind of diagonal to park.
Yeah,
It was kind of like that in the small town, and you'd pull in like that. And the drugstore was on the corner, but they sold like comic books and all kind of stuff like that. And then a couple of doors down. Was everything else?
No, we didn't have that extra jewelry store. Our jewelry store was in the drugstore, but we had two drugstores.
Really?
They were across the street from each other, and the one, as I said, had all the things you could buy, like all kinds of gifts. It was had gifts in there, and then had the little jewelry counter and then all that. But then the other drugstore was just a drugstore where you could either get a prescription or go up the counter, and they had booths where you could go and get a malt or, a Coke or something.
Yeah.
So they serve two different purposes. But, it's amazing what our children ask about. Do you remember this? Well, of course we all remember all that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I don't think I've ever seen a drugstore with a jewelry store inside.
Yep. My first rings were purchased at the drugstore from the little jewelry counter.
I know they have some jewelry in the drugstores now, but I don't think it's the same thing.
Oh, okay. But in I can remember that you bought all your magazines there if you were allowed to have magazines.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, sometimes parents would not let us have, you know, the magazines that us teenagers wanted to buy. You weren't allowed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the drugstores on the corner. This one in particular, when I was a kid, they would have the drugstore, and then in a whole nother section, it was still the same store, but you'd go into a whole nother section, and there was the comic books, the newspapers, the magazines. Then there was like a little candy section, like with all the chewing gum and the whatever else was in there, the Twizzlers or whatever it was, and that had its own section too.
Yeah, it's amazing what you could get at a drugstore.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
It's just, you know, everything. And I remember salves and all this stuff, you know, that you bought a salve for everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know?
if you didn't have a couple of tubes of salve or some kind of ointment handy, then you weren't ready for anything.
That's right. You just didn't have it together. That's all it was.
You didn't have it together.
and the five and dime store, don't forget that.
Oh, yeah.
We had one of those, and it said on the front, five to a dime. You know, it was a store you could get anything in there.
Yeah.
Kids, they lined up to go in there to see what they could afford with their allowance.
Oh, yeah. You'd get your allowance, or if you, like, mowed lawns or babysit.
Oh, yeah.
Babysat, you'd go in there, and you'd save it up and see what you can get. It was great.
And I remember on Saturday afternoons, and we had to get downtown to see the movie. And, you know, there was going to be a good Western and all this other, and it was like a quarter.
Ooh.
And you had to get downtown to participate. And if we were late, we just didn't get to go.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get up on Saturday morning and watch cartoons and then go to the movie in the afternoon?
No, we didn't have cartoons on our television. Oh. I don't remember ever seeing a cartoon on the television.
Really? Oh, it's a magical thing.
Well, you know, we lived way out, and we got two stations. We only had two stations.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and we had the big tower that you had to crank that was up on the side of the house. You would crank that, and it would turn the tower to help you see a little better from either Oklahoma City or Amarillo.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had to turn that. I remember that crank, and you would turn it to see if you get that picture come in a little clear.
Uh huh. And then did you upgrade to the little rabbit ears inside the house?
It seems like we did later, but we had to have that really tall tower just to get anything. I mean, and two stations. I hadn't thought about that in years.
Wow.
There wasn't but two stations.
Goodness gracious. You imagine what people would do now if they only had access to two stations?
They would just go crazy. Yeah, they'd go nuts. They couldn't take it.
They'd explode, I'm sure.
And you know, we live in such a modern world, kids nowadays could not go back and start at that level.
Oh, no, you can never go backwards.
No, you just couldn't do it. They wouldn't even understand how people survived all that.
Yeah, they'd be so bored.
They would be completely bored. And, of course, you know, there was no cell phones back then.
Yeah, yeah. Very different times.
Yeah, 50s and 60s, you know, it was just the beginning of rock and roll.
Yeah, when all the kids went crazy.
That's right. And all the dancing, and parents just thought it was absurdly terrible.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it the work of the devil or something like that?
That's right. It was the work of the devil. And then I remember that a lot of it, you weren't even supposed to watch it. Because it was going to be so sinful.
Yes. Well, you remember even when Elvis was on TV those early years, they would only show him from the waist up because it was...
That's right.
It was terrible.
That's right. All that shaking going on.
Yeah.
And they didn't want their daughters to see him.
Yeah. They had no idea what we'd be doing this day.
And then can you imagine when the Beatles came to America?
Lord help.
That's right. I never will forget that.
Yeah.
Watching that on television, seeing the Beatles. Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, I'm surprised the world didn't explode then.
That's right. And there they were on Ed Sullivan's show.
I know.
I mean, of all people, Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
And you remember he was a quiet, well-mannered guy. And I remember when he announced they were coming, and it was just the world exploded. It just absolutely exploded.
Oh, boy. Good times. This
Good
is
time.
Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So now, when it comes to saving for retirement and building wealth for retirement, this is not one of these things that people generally look forward to. They say, you know, I just don't want to do it. It's so far down the road. I'd rather just live my life right now, just go out and enjoy it. Because let's face it, for the most part, we live in a right here, right now, immediate, disposable kind of society. And if something breaks, we throw it away, get a new one. If it doesn't happen right now, then we start to lose our cool and go crazy. And so I think people sometimes want to hang on to their money. However, it is so important to start building that wealth for retirement. And it doesn't take a lot of work. It doesn't take a whole lot of training. It doesn't take a whole lot of discipline. But you do have to get started. And so, Faye, what do you find when people come to see you for the first time? What do you find is the thing that actually made them stop looking at things like, oh, no, it's so far down the road, too. I need to do something. Is there an event? Is there a change? What happens?
I think maybe they get a year older. I'm just thinking about that. I think maybe they get a year older because, you know, I've had a lot of calls this week, and they were different types of calls. You know, a gentleman called me, had a high net worth, and he said, you know, I want to make a change. I'm really worried about the stock market. I want to get out. And so, you know, we talked about his assets and what he had his money in and what we might could do for him. And, you know, he wasn't satisfied with what he'd made. If he had made what he thought he should have made in the stock market, he wouldn't be coming to us.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he has retired, and he is concerned about losing his wealth, mm-hmm. about losing the ability to live like he wants to live. And that's why he was calling us to make an appointment. He said, I'm certainly not happy with where I am. And he had a variable annuity. And, you know, we talk about variable annuities every once in a while. It's the stock market. It's just in mutual funds. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't made any money in that either. So, you know, people, like you say, what triggers this is usually either they're getting their statement and they're worried. They're worried because things they know about. Or it's their age. And they say, you know, at my age, what am I doing in the stock market?
Mm-hmm.
I think I need to get things a little more secure. And then, of course, procrastination sets in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have people that procrastinate all the time. And, you know, our life settlement company, a lady called in on that to sell her life insurance policy. She heard the ad a month ago.
A month ago?
It took her a month. Yeah, took her 1 month.
Wow.
And so, you know, people just don't get in a hurry.
They don't.
In Texas, and I don't know if we're different than other people, but I do know that men especially procrastinate. Women procrastinate, but not as long.
Yeah.
We're a little faster thinkers than men.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes it's a combination of, you know, procrastination, and then it's saving for retirement and growing your wealth and things like that. Yeah, I think it's almost like, in some ways, it's almost like insurance. You know, it's not fun. It's not a thing that, you know, that people want to do. You know, they don't want to do taxes. They don't want to, you know, go sign up for insurance. They don't want to, you know, start, you know, thinking about retirement, because it's just not an activity that brings immediate satisfaction. One, and there's paperwork, and it's just boring. So, you know, if people can get over that boring stigma growing your wealth and starting investing and thinking about retirement and doing things to get ready to go ahead in retirement, I think that would be fine, because it seems like once people get over that hump, you know, and they come see you for the first time, they finally stop procrastinating, They come in, they talk to you, they sit down, they start investing. Once they start making money, and I'm only guessing here, probably with their first investment, when they get that that first transfer into their account, I would imagine after that, they go from that boring thing to really excited about this. Is that fairly right?
And you know, you're talking about if they find it boring. They would find it really boring if they retired and didn't have any money. So that's one way to get you over that boring feeling right there. You know? I mean, you won't be bored anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
so if you retire, you know, and have to go back to work, that's not fun.
No, it would not be a boring situation. It'd be pretty exciting,
yeah,
but on the wrong side.
Yeah.
No, when people come to see us, they've made up their mind finally that they need to do something to get their house in order, because they don't want to worry. You know, there's a big worry about your retirement if you don't have it solidified, mm-hmm, if you don't know how it's going to work. A lot of times people become, because they don't want any worry. They want it solid. And they know that if they do it this way, it'll be solid, and they don't have the ups and downs. That's what worries people the most, knowing that their savings, their entire retirement, can go up, and it can also go down. It can fall. So that's what gets them finally off of their seat there where they're sitting and makes them come over to see us. Now, I had some people call this week, and they asked a question we've never addressed, I don't think, or anybody's ever asked it, and I don't remember it. They said, what does it cost to come see you?
Oh, that's a good question.
That was a good question. And I wrote them back and said, nothing. It's complimentary.
Wow.
Yes, yeah, so they wanted to know what the fee was to come and sit down and talk to us.
Huh.
And I didn't realize people worried about that. I had no idea.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, I just wouldn't have ever thought about it, that they thought there was a fee just to come and talk to us. So maybe some people do charge a fee. We do not, as you know. We've never charged anybody one dime to come and sit down and talk to us. That's just part of the service.
That's good to know. That's never actually crossed my mind, and I'm sure probably a lot of people have that same question. So that's good to know. Now, as far as like the program, because we talk a lot about you know, the life settlements and getting into that. What about fees for that? As long as we're talking about fees.
Okay, the banks charge $250 a year. That's their fee
for the whole year.
For the whole year, and it's payable once a year. And Bank of Utah, in fact, has just sent us out a notice. 13 people hadn't paid yet.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's like, to them, it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
They charge us so much, and somebody was late. Boy, that's a bad sign.
And, that's
a bad sign. Oh, my gosh. You know, they're worried about that $250.
Wow.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they bill us $75,000 a year.
Goodness gracious.
They do. Our fee that we have to pay is $75,000 a year to Bank of Utah.
Wow.
It's a big fee, folks.
Yeah, so people, when they're looking at their own individual fee of $250, it's really nothing, relatively speaking.
No, and that's also why we've been moving people over to Nevada Trust, because of those fees, you know, to lower the fees, we're moving over to Nevada Trust, and every time a policy matures, we've just been kind of moving that over.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's one thing. And they both give good service. You know, we've been with both banks, you know, quite a long time, and they know what they're doing. It's just the attitude's a little better at one than it is the other. You know,
yeah,
and we notice that, you know,
it,
I mean, like telling them, you know, if you don't pay that immediately, we'll just cancel your contract here.
Gobble.
I mean, that wasn't very nice.
No, that doesn't work very well.
No, and you know, we prefer they say your clients have missed the payment here. Would you see what you can do? That would have been a much nicer way to
explain
that to us.
Yeah, yeah. They always say you attract more flies with honey, or I don't know what it is. It's something like that.
It's with honey, yes. then with fly spray.
Yeah, with fly spray. Or the tape that hangs from the ceiling gets all twisted.
Now, that goes back a long way.
Yeah, it does.
Boy, no. That dates you.
We're pulling everything out of the old archives today.
That's right. I mean, I wouldn't have thought about those old strips. Wow. Yeah.
So now, what would you say is probably your biggest concern for people who are in the stock market right now? And I don't want to scare people, but I think it's important to kind of realize, you know, a realistic landscape of what's going on. A lot of people may not be aware of things. A lot of people may hear things. Maybe some of them are rumors. Maybe they don't hear enough. But to give people an honest perspective of what's going on today in the investment landscape, what would be your biggest concern if it was you, as far as Wall Street's concerned?
Well, I would just hate to get to the end of the road and find out I'm fixing to retire and not have the money that I'm going to need to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so much that can go wrong. You know, I was just thinking this morning, I saw an ad for people to buy gold in their IRA. I thought, can you imagine having your IRA in gold and the risk involved?
Wow.
And it scared me to death. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'd hate to have my IRA in gold or silver. And, you know, if you had a little bit, that's fine. But what if you had your entire IRA in that?
That would be kind of scary.
And the price of gold goes down or silver. There's no way to get it back.
Oh, no.
How do you get it back?
Exactly. There's no room for any kind of recovery whatsoever.
No. I mean, if it goes down, you can only sell it for what it's worth that day.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel that way about the stock market. You know, it has good days, but it has bad days also. Mm-hmm. And then every time we have something happen, like everybody's a little nervous about Iran right now.
Yeah.
Well, that will certainly affect your stock if anything goes any farther. And it may not go any farther. It may just sit like that, and we don't have anything to worry about. But every day, something can affect your holdings.
Mm-hmm.
The safer you've got it, the better.
It seems like, and I can't remember how long ago it was, but maybe sometime within the last month or two, it seems like there was some chatter as far as, you know, the stability of the stock market, and people were starting to hint that maybe there may be another crash coming, like they said, what, worse than the one in 64?
Seven.
And so is that still going around, or has it kind of subsided?
Well, we don't know. I mean, every once in a while I read where they have taken $1 billion here, $1 billion out there because they're a little bit worried, you know.
Oh.
And you just don't know. Remember, the stock market, we have no control over it.
Yeah.
You and I out here in the heartland, we just hear the guys talk about it in New York, what they're doing with their companies, with their stock, you know. And then we hear about this company or that company, you know, losing half of their value sometimes. Look what GE used to be.
Mm.
And look at that stock now.
Yeah.
So we have to think about different situations causes the stock to do different things. So when you come over to us, we're only dealing in life insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
There's no stock. There's no up and down. It's you know exactly what you're going to make at any given time. When you go into a contract with us and you buy into a policy, you know, it's 1% a month. So if it's a 15-month policy, you'll make 15%. If it's a 24-month policy, you're going to make 24%. And so it's you know what you're going to make, and that really makes a difference in your portfolio to know, you know, how much you're going to get back each time a policy matures and to know that the life insurance company is paying you. And that makes makes it a lot better investment to know that you have bought a life insurance policy and that the life insurance company will pay you when that person passes away. When that policy matures, you get paid.
Yeah, that is good. And that's already set in stone. I mean, you already know what that is. Whereas like Wall Street is volatile. It's unstable.
We don't know what will happen day to day. No,
it's unstable. It's unpredictable. So you never know. And so the great thing about getting into something like a life settlement is, like you said, you do know what you're going to get paid. You just may not know exactly what it is. They have a general idea of when they think the policy will mature, because the doctors have looked at it and they may say, okay, we believe this policy may mature in 24 months. And so that gives you kind of a rough estimate, as though, hey, within about 2 years, I should be getting paid. Now, sometimes they come in early, sometimes they come in late, but that's at least a very educated starting point. And so, the fact that these types of investments are so well informed and there's so much information going into it, and it's not just kind of as unpredictable as the wind, I think that's got to be very comforting to a lot of people too.
I think it is, because when you go into it, you know what you're going to make, and I don't know very many investments where you know what you're going to make. I think it is a good investment, because if you look at mutual funds, if you look at what they pay on things like this, it's about 8%. If you look at bonds, bonds are a little over 2%. Mm. If you look at a CD, which is guaranteed, that's about 1.5 to 2%. So it pays more than all these other investments, and you know how much you're going to make going in. And if you can make 1% a month, I think it's pretty good on a safety ratio. We're not promising you're going to make 50%, 100%. Lots of times the stock market promise you big, big rewards, but I haven't ever had anybody tell me they've made these huge amounts of money out here. Mm-hmm. I've never had anybody come in my office and say, we have made this huge amount of money, Faye. I don't know of anybody that has.
No, I don't either. And the thing is even if somebody was to get one of those paydays that we never hear about, but if somebody was to do that and they leave it in 5 minutes too long, it may be too late and lose the whole thing and then some. So, it can come and go so quickly, but with a life settlement, it's a nice, slow, steady investment, and that's really how it's designed to be. It's not supposed to be something that people just come in and do one investment and then they're ready for retirement. This is a part of a retirement plan. Do you find that people come in and they expect something different, or do they know, hey, this is something I got to do over several years?
I think they do when they talk to me. And that reminds me, I talked to a gentleman this week that had bought some oil company bonds. I wouldn't even thought about oil company bonds. But, they issue bonds just like everybody else. And he said that he had lost money for 8 years on these bonds.
Wow.
And I won't mention the company, but it's a good company. But its bonds aren't paying anything. He said he bought it 8 years ago, and he's still losing money.
Wow. And so I would assume he got sick of it, and that's what triggered the conversation.
That's why he came in, yes, because he thought when he bought these, and I know the company real well. Years ago, when I was still in the stock market, I had that stock at one time. Mm-hmm. And the last time, that's another reason I got out, I just barely got my money back.
Ooh.
Just barely made it. That was when in 08 the crash was coming. I got out of the stock market. I've never been in the stock market since. I don't want to risk what I have.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it. But this guy, when he told me what oil company issued the bonds, I go, oh, my gosh, He said, I've lost money on them for 8 years. So a lot of these things that you think are going to make you all this money, there's no guarantees is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That's another thing you have to worry about. Most things in life are not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
But I would at least like to know how much I'm going to make.
Yeah.
I would like to know at the end of the investment what I'm going to get back.
Yeah. It literally
is. It's a certainty, and you don't have that if you're still in the stock market.
No, because literally the thing that people, I think, battle the most with a life settlement is just pretty much just the waiting. You invest and you wait for the policy to mature. It really is that simple. It's that you're not up at midnight checking your portfolio, see if you have anything left. You don't have to do any of that. You just put it in, wait for the policy to mature, and then they get paid. And then they roll it into another investment or two, right?
That's right. And, people, as I said, they put more money with us all the time. They'll come in, they'll put money, they'll put more money with us. And that we do this all the time. And so you know that they're happy with their investments and what they've made. And we have a lot of people that have made, you know, a lot of money with us. They haven't gotten rich. We're not going to promise anybody that. But they've made substantial interest. And at the first of the year, I told you about one of my clients said that they had made $94,000 this last year in interest.
Wow, that's incredible.
And that's a lot of interest.
Yeah, it is.
And I went back and looked at a lot of the portfolios, and one person has made $800,000 in 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
In 5 years. And I've got people made a lot less.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just using that as an example of what people have made. And I've got a lot of clients, after they've been with me a couple of years, they brought their sisters. I've got one gentleman that's got 2 or 3 sisters. They're in it. I've got people that, you know, as I said, that they're mothers. You never put your mother in anything unless you know it's rock solid.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that is a no-no. If you put your mother in something risky, you know, you just don't do those things.
You don't want to blow that relationship.
No, you don't want to blow that one. So, you know, when they bring their mother, their sisters in, you know that they know it's a safe and a good investment.
You know, and speaking of mothers and sisters, it kind of brings a thought to mind. You know, people talk about retirement, and we talk about, you know, making sure that you have what you need to retire. We talk about making sure you have everything secure, making sure you have the lifestyle you want. But there's other people that are involved with your retirement, too. It's not just one individual person. You've got to think about your spouse. You've got to think about oftentimes your children. And so there's other people that are affected by this. And so if somebody makes a bad decision, it's going to affect other people one way or another. So, you know, say something happens to somebody, God forbid, and all of a sudden, you know, they're not here. Well, they still have other family members that need to be taken care of that are here. Or if everybody is here, well, you know, you don't want to retire and have to, you know, budget ramen noodles every night for supper. You want to make sure your wife or your other husband or, you know, even your children have the kind of lifestyle that you know, they're proud of. They've worked their whole life. They should be able to enjoy it. And so there's other people that are involved when it comes to a retirement plan too, right?
That's right. And you want to be sure your wife is taken care of, your family. And that is why the way we do this, you know, we keep investing even after they retire, where they'll have that interest income. They're going to need this interest income as long as they live. You know, just because you retire, your bills will go on. They're not going to be as much as what they used to be. But you still need interest income. It's a good thing to always have interest coming into the house.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we'll get into how the life settlement program works. We'll get into all the details about that here in just a few minutes. But first, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, I'll point out real quick, that is your office number. Obviously, being Saturday, nobody's there right now. But we give out that number all the time because a lot of times people will hear it. They'll hear what you're talking about, and they'll want to get involved. So they'll at least reach out, make that initial call, leave a message today, and you'll call them back next week and set up an appointment and talk to them. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what are we talking about this morning?
We're going to talk about Bowie, Texas.
All right.
Bowie, Texas, Incorporated, July 22nd, 1881.
Whoa, 1881.
Yeah, it was named after Jim Bowie, Indian fighter, the maker of the Bowie knife, all these things. That's where it came from. And Bowie would never have been established, but the railroad was coming, and there'd been a delay of the Fort Worth and Denver Railway in 1882. So these people, they're smart. They just went on down the road, and they established this little town. Now, everything happened there. In 1884, 4 men robbed the First National Bank of Bowie.
Ooh.
And they stole $10,000 in gold coins. The townspeople gave chase and captured them.
Are you
and they
serious?
Hung them. They did.
Wow.
Ah.
That's cool.
Oh, my gosh. The town in 1913 had grown till they had 5,000 people live there. They even had a little commercial college.
Well, that's a lot for the early 1900s.
Yeah, and President Franklin D. Roosevelt was on his train. He visited Bowie on July 11, 1938, and he purchased biscuits from legendary Amon G. Carter of Fort Worth, who owned the newspaper, or owned a lot in Fort Worth. And he had grown up in Bowie, so he presented him with those biscuits, and that's, you know, he'll never forget that, and never did, I'm sure, the rest of his life.
Sure.
This little town, here we have this little bitty town, and they had things just like, I mean, you won't even believe the businesses in the early years that they had. I was just shocked. They had 5 saloons, 3 livery stables. They had 10 dry goods stores. They had 8 grocery stores, 2 hardware stores, a tin shop, 2 drug stores, 3 blacksmith shops, 2 restaurants, a watchmaker, a jeweler, and 2 market houses.
Well, goodness gracious, it sounds like a booming little place.
In 1883.
Wow.
I mean, and then the first graduating class, 1897, had 7 students. Now then, Mose Johnson established a small chicken hatchery in 1904, and it developed into the largest white leghorn chicken ranch in the world.
Really?
Yes. And Mr. Bodaker, who was their mayor, bought the first automobile. And it was just in time because they were just paving the streets with brick in 1908.
Wow.
And the reason that I brought up Bowie, Texas, they're having Jim Bowie Days.
Really?
Last week in June.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They will have a week of rodeo events celebrating Jim Bowie. The bass tournament is what kicks everything off. And the Amon G. Carter Lake is where they will be fishing for bass,
ooh,
named after the famous Amon Carter from Fort Worth, Texas, who was raised in Bowie, Texas. Naturally, the lake's named after him.
Yeah.
But they will have American Indian artifacts. They're going to have an antique car show. And my favorite, a pet parade.
Ooh, cool.
So Bowie, Texas, been there a long time, since early 1800s. Now, by in 1883, they had a population of 1,100. By 1913, they had a population of 5,000. Today, they still have a little over 5,000 people.
Really? It hasn't changed?
It hasn't changed, hasn't grown, but they have a lot of churches. When I was researching all this, they have every kind of church in the world in Bowie, Texas.
Wonder if they still have all those saloons.
I don't think the saloons. I think they went the way of everything else in the early 1800s. But can you believe that? 10 dry goods stores.
That's amazing.
I can't fathom a little tiny outpost having 10 dry goods stores.
I can't picture that. There's only 5,000 people there.
That's right, and there wasn't even that many in the early 1800s.
Yeah.
There was only 1,100 people living there.
Goodness gracious.
And I don't know if it was because of the railroad and people were in and out, but I just couldn't imagine. 5 saloons, all those dry goods stores. They had 2 drug stores.
It's amazing.
So there had to be a lot of people coming and going, maybe because they did get the town while they were waiting on the railroad, and then the railroad, of course, did go on through there, and it was eventually, most of the railroad's business was moved to Wichita Falls. But back then, of course, it started out in Bowie before they ever got there. But I could not imagine.
Maybe.
And then in 1941, another guy robbed the bank. He robbed First National Bank.
Did they go chase him down the street?
Yeah, I mean, and there's only 5 miles. The entire town is 5 miles.
Really?
5 square miles.
And they packed all those stores into the 5 miles span.
That's right. And at 5 miles, gosh, I'd love to have been a bird and watched all this going on in the 1800s with all these little stores and all this. They didn't tell how big they were.
Yeah.
But if you can have 10 dry goods stores, you're selling a lot of dry goods to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody's buying. Maybe it was like some kind of a huge pass-through town, and people came through and bought stuff.
That's what I'm wondering. If because of the railroad was being built, if railroad workers, their families, I just don't know. And then, of course, for the President Roosevelt to stop there in 1938.
Yeah, and get those biscuits? Oh, Lord.
Yeah, from Amon Carter. I mean, that's pretty personal right there.
Yeah, it is.
And then, of course, the lake was built and named after Mr. Carter. And they're going to have their big bass tournament. They're going to have the rodeo all week long. And then the pet parade.
So does it go through this weekend, too?
Yes. Okay. It'll be an all-week deal.
Good deal. Good deal.
And people will go out to see that. I mean, they've been having this thing for years and years.
Mm.
Jim Bowie days.
Man, it just sounds like some good small-town kind of fun, you know?
That's right. It's the kind of thing that everybody needs to go back and see. From the bass tournament, which everybody will take their kids, their family, they'll get in their boats and try to catch the biggest bass, and then the rodeo. You know, it's just amazing. And American Indian artifacts, the antique car show will be great.
Oh, boy. Those are always big fun.
I love antique car shows. I am crazy about them.
Yeah, yeah. Those old cars. For one, they don't make cars like that anymore. But two, when somebody can restore those things and make them look, virtually brand new like they do, I got a lot of respect for people who can do that, because that takes a lot of time. It's expensive, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of skill.
It takes a lot of skill and a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to mess them up.
Oh, no.
I've seen people putting the beautiful leather interior back in. I've seen them doing all this. And it's like with kid gloves, you know, because you don't want to get it wrong when you've got an expensive car like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to be sure you got it right.
Man, those things are so great. And then all oftentimes when they crank them up, just the sound of them is just, it's like, oh, boy, you don't hear things like that anymore.
And, you know, I didn't discover it till this week, and I don't know why I never thought of it. Men love the roar of a car.
Oh, yeah.
And I never had thought about that. And women don't really particularly like the roar of a car, but they do. They love the roar of a car.
Yeah.
And then the double pipes.
Oh, yes.
All that power.
Yeah,
they love the power under there.
It is. It's a lot of power. And I think that's why a lot of people love the sound of a Harley, too, because a Harley has its own individual sound, unlike anything else.
Right, and I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
I think it's the roar of all these engines that they love to rev them up.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And, yeah, and I guess, and pickups for men is like a Maserati.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they love what it will do for them, and they love the pulling power. They just, they love that type of thing.
Yeah, and they're also fun to work on, too. And now, it's a little bit more difficult these days because everything is so computerized. But, you know, back even, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was great to just pop the hood open and just start tinkering around with what's going on under the hood, you know? I mean, it's cool.
And men still do it to this day. You know, all these people that are restoring cars, it's just amazing, you know, the time, like you say, the time and energy they put into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what people are going to do when electric cars come out and completely take over everything, because I don't know if there's much to do under the hood, but we'll see, I guess.
That's right, but I that'll be an interesting thing also.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Bowie Days.
Bowie Days.
Definitely going on the calendar of things to do. Even if not this year, if we didn't make it down this year, then definitely next year. So that's obviously one of those things that takes you back in time. It's nostalgic. Summertime is full of these kinds of festivals and gatherings and you know, things like that. And this just sounds like just another amazing one. Especially, I think it's fascinating that the population hasn't changed in so many years, still hovering right around 5,000. That's pretty cool.
And I bet you anything There's generation after generation lives there. Want to bet?
Oh, yeah. I bet you're right.
Yeah.
I bet you're right.
I bet the same people still live there and probably have never been very far from Bowie, Texas.
Yeah. That is a special kind of situation right there. That's very cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to my favorite store, Ivy Cottage.
Throw that in there real quick. So how does the life settlement plan work? I know we've been talking about how people know when they're going to get paid. They know how much they're going to get paid. You know, there may be a few things that could affect that. But for the most part, we know these things. You don't know it with any other kind of investment. We know that it is a slow process to grow, but it does grow. And that's the important thing, to get on that trajectory so that over the couple of years, you know, you can build your wealth and get ready for retirement. So how does the overall plan to work? Because we're talking about investing in life insurance policies.
Well, you know, when people come to us and they say, how do I do this? How does it work? We say, okay, we open you an account at the bank, first of all. You have to have an account at the bank. The money never goes to our account. So we open them an account at the bank, whether it's an IRA, if it's a rollover, or if it's just a custodial account with them and their wife. And then we send them out, as soon as we have a policy available, we send them an invitation. It may be for $50,000, it may be for $100,000 to go into this policy. We send them a copy of all the health on this person where they know how bad the cancer is. If it's a 24-month, it'll tell them all about that they think they have 2 years to live. And then we tell these people it may not be there. They may die a year early. You know, we have this happen all the time. They may die on time, or it could go over. It may be late. But they know everything about their investment. They know what they're going to make. They know what kind of cancer it is. They know what the face amount of the policy is. They know everything about it. And they know that if it goes over, what it will cost. They know what percentage. So that page is so important that we used to call page 14. Now we just say it's five pages from the end.
Which doesn't sound quite as cool, but still.
That's right. We're always going to refer back to that page 14.
Yeah.
And because everything you need to know is in writing. Mm-hmm. That's the important part. Everything I tell them is in writing. We don't just tell you this. Everything we say has to be in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tell them that the bank acts as trustee for the account. We don't touch your money. The bank handles it once we get the account set up. We tell the bank when to pay the premiums. All the premiums are escrowed for it. If it's a 24-month policy, there's premiums set up to cover it for 24 months. It may even be for 30. Lots of times we'll put 4 or 5 months extra premium in there just in case to give them that cushion.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tell them everything about the policy in page 14. So anytime they forget something, then go back and look and say, oh, yes, this is who it is, this is the cancer it is, this is how long the policy is.
So the information is all out there for people before they even invest in it. The information is there, so they know all of the parameters of the investment. Now, the other thing that is, I would imagine, is one of the big draws is that this is not affected by anything else. So when you're in the stock market, anything happens overseas, anything happens, you know, domestically, anything can affect the stock market, and all of a sudden you could lose anything or everything. But with a life settlement, it is its own entity. It's almost like its own, it's in its own ecosystem, and it doesn't affect, or it's not affected by anything outside of it because it is its own thing.
That's exactly right. It's not affected by war, talk of war. It's not affected by emergencies of any kind. The weather, I mean, you know, you think about all these other things that tragically affect people because, you know, they lose property, all this. This is not affected by all that. In other words, a life insurance company has guaranteed payment of this. When you buy a life insurance policy, we all know they pay off. When you die, they pay the widow or the beneficiaries. So they don't have that worry. They know they're going to get paid. That's what I like about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the life insurance company will pay off.
So we see all these wonderful things about this type of investment, you know, how the value won't go down, what you get paid is not going to change. You know that going in. We know that it's not affected by anything. We see that it's a conservative type of investment. People don't have to worry about things. They don't have to be up in the middle of the night wondering if they're going to have anything left. So it's great on their nerves. It's great for anxiety. So I'm sure people are saying, okay, this is all wonderful. It's a win-win-win for everybody. But there's got to be some kind of a downside. So what's the other shoe that needs to drop that people are waiting for?
Well, there's always a risk. It doesn't matter what you're doing. There's not as much risk as in other things, but there's some risk. The biggest risk is your policy could go over, and you have to pay the premiums. So we always tell everybody, this is what the premium would be. In fact, people are getting sophisticated enough now, they'll ask, if this goes over, what is my exposure on premiums? So people do ask that, and we do tell them up front. We try to keep the premiums as low as possible. We try to keep it under 3%. So we try not to buy a policy unless it's higher. Now, every once in a while, there'll be a really great policy, and we'll decide it's worth the risk. We will lower your investment. Okay. And people, you know, they don't like those small investments. But every once in a while, we'll have to do a small investment in order to keep that premium down. But most of the time, the premium is $1,000, $500, or way less than that. So we don't even worry about the premium. So, but we have to tell them that is your biggest risk it could go over. The second risk is it is not liquid during the time it's invested. Because remember, we've just paid for that life insurance policy, so it's not liquid till it comes due. So that's the second risk. The third one is if a life insurance company ever went broke. We've never had one go under in Texas. And the last few years, any company that's gotten in trouble, somebody's bought it, as I always say, before 5 o'clock, because the premium income is so great, they want that premium income.
Yeah. It's massive. And I hate to say this, and it's not 100% true, but it's almost like they said back in 2008, 2009, these companies are almost too big to fail.
Yeah, those banks, they said, were.
Yeah.
And banks don't have the premium income that a life insurance company has.
Yeah, that's
right. They have good income, but they don't have anything like. If you'd look at the books of the life insurance companies or look them up, and look at their financial statement. Look at what their premium income is.
Yeah, that's what makes this type of investment. It's so wonderful because you know the money is there. It's too big to ignore. The profit margins are too big. The amount of money that people are making on this type of investment are too substantial to ignore it. And so I think the security that comes along with it, the information that comes along with it, the conservative nature of it, it's all wonderful. So when people are looking at this as an investment opportunity, they're saying, okay, how do I do this? How long should I be doing this to get ready for? And I know every situation is different, but generally speaking, how long should somebody expect to do something like this in order to get ready for retirement?
I would be doing it as long as I could. I would start at 40 years old. If you start at 40, I think you would have a tremendous retirement. I really do. I think you'd have a tremendous amount.
What about somebody who is, say, 50 or 55? Is that too close?
They've still got plenty of time.
Okay.
You've got plenty of time at 55. You're not going to retire for 10 years. In 10 years, you should have a good portfolio with us.
Okay. So that kind of gives people an idea of how long it would take. How long should they should be in the program? Obviously, if they could start in their 30s or 40s, that would be wonderful. But I think people don't start worrying about it until they start, getting to that age where it's like, I'd kind of like to retire in a few years. What should we do? And they start thinking, it seems like when I talk to people, they get in that mindset and then immediately their next thought goes to, oh, well, it's too late. I should have started, when I was like 15 years old, and so I can't do it now. So anybody who is 50, 55, they still can do this and become quite profitable.
That's exactly right. And, if you're 70 years old, getting ready to retire, it's fine. Mm-hmm. If you've got, $300,000, $400,000, you can still really increase that by a sizable amount. If you've only got $100,000 to your name and you're 70, it's a little bit late.
Yeah. So
You know, you want to come with as much as you can, naturally.
As people hear this, and I know there's some new people who have never heard it before. They're not familiar with the concept before, and that's fine. So for those people who I said, well, this sounds all really, really great, but I want to see some numbers. So for people who want to see real numbers from people who have really done investments, they can really go and see the trend. They can see how much money people are making. They can see how the program works with their own eyes. They can get proof in black and white. You have all this information on your website, easily accessible for anybody, right?
That's right. We put every policy up on our website. I don't know if it's current. I hope it is. But we've had quite a few come due in the last month. They might not all be up there. Mm-hmm. But it goes back 2 years at all times. So you can see what people have made.
And one thing we should stress about this is that, like we said earlier a little bit, it's not a one-and-done type of thing. This is a strategy over several years. So people generally get in multiple policies, and so there's always money that's turning over. There's always some forward momentum. There's always movement on the account. And so when people come across a policy that matures, that money goes in their bank, and 9 times out of 10, and I'm just making that up, so correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the time, they will take that money, reinvest it, right?
That's exactly right, because 90% of our business is IRAs. Mm-hmm. It's all, mostly rollovers from 401ks or rollovers from IRAs. So you don't want to take money out of your IRA because you're going to have to pay tax on it, 70.5%.
Yeah.
So people are trying to make as much interest as they can now before they retire. And then when they retire, they give us a lump sum, and then we put that to work, and then they tell us how much they're going to need every year, and that's how much they take out.
So they have plenty of money to live on, and they still have money that they're still reinvesting so they can still make more money, because if you get to retirement and all of a sudden all you're doing is just spending and you're not replenishing, then you're just hemorrhaging money, and at some point you're going to run out. So it's important to keep going, and this type of investment is perfect for anybody who wants to be on more of the conservative side. You know, you don't want to go into retirement and then 2-3 years later run out of money, or take risky investments, lose everything, and then have to go back to work. That's no good for anybody.
No, nobody wants to go back to work, let me tell you. And as I said, we have a lot of people this year going to retire early.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people going to retire at 60.
Wow.
Because they worked for one person all their life.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not retiring in Midland, Texas, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I don't have anybody that said we're going to stay here. Everybody's saying, we're going to the lake, we're going to the golf course, we're going to Granbury. Granbury's a big place. The Hill Country's another big place.
Mm.
A lot of people go to the Hill Country and retire.
Yeah, and this is the thing that people have been working for their whole life, you know, is to get
That's
to this
right.
stage, and the last thing you want to do is have all these plans and not be able to do any of them. So this may very well be the plan for a lot of people, especially as you get closer to retirement. People are looking for more of a conservative type of investment, and so it's worth coming in to talk to you. So before somebody comes in, if they just want information and they just want to understand the program a little bit better, they have some questions, that's totally fine. But if somebody's kind of even halfway thinking about moving forward, what should they do to prepare for a meeting with you?
Well, they should bring copies of their statements. If they've got more than one account, their different statements we need to look at and see, you know, what they really want to do. And let's look and see how much they've made. And that's another thing. People can't read their statements. And so a lot of them don't even know if they've made anything or how much their losses are.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll show me, and I'll go, we really haven't made any money in the last 3 or 4 years, you know? So we look at that, we talk to them about it, and talk about what they're comfortable doing.
Okay. And you've got some availability to talk to some people this coming week, right?
That's right.
Okay. So once again, and remember, this phone number is at your office, so people can call it right now. They can leave a message, and you call them back. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.